Lord, I mentioned that Dennis Kelly's father passed away. Dennis told Brother Hooker that his father was saved. I preached a sermon, "Is There a Hell?" at pastor school and one year. And Dennis got burdened about his father. In that sermon, I tell how I failed to win my own father, though I had a good chance to do it. And Dennis won his father after I preached that sermon at pastor school. So he's in heaven tonight. Another little coupon clip from pastor school. Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Those of you who are pretty good Bible students, have studied the Bible quite a bit through the years, are going to have your hair curled tonight, or your scalp wrinkled, whichever the case may be. In my case, both. Both of my hairs will be curled, and the rest of my head will be wrinkled. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, is the church the bride of Christ? I'm going to teach it to you, and I'll guarantee you that though it is not one of those spectacular kind of studies, I'll guarantee you that those of you that have studied the Bible through the years will learn something, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, let me stop there for a second. I didn't mean to put it that way, but now you guys are getting all excited here about this part, but you didn't get too much excited about the verse before that. Submitting yourselves one to another. Yeah. Let's hasten on time. I don't have time to stop there. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Our Father, I sometimes wonder if we wouldn't be better off to burn all our books and just read the Bible. And that's what we're going to do tonight, just read the Bible. We're going to find out what the Bible says about the bride of Christ. It'll be as plain as can be. I pray you give me the attention and alertness of the people as we do, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Father, instruct us from thy word. Help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness so we can be filled. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to sort of let you conduct the Bible study tonight. I'm going to direct you in it, and you're going to end up teaching it exactly as I would have taught it. But I'm going to ask you to sort of conduct the Bible study tonight. I want to speak on the subject, the church as the bride of Christ. The church as the bride of Christ. Remember that little lesson I gave you on dividing fundamentalism into three different groups? Group number one was the American Baptist Fundamentalists that came from the American Baptist Convention. That's the JARBs and the Conservative Baptists and so forth. Group number two was what I call the Protestant Fundamentalists, groups that came from the Protestant denominations who became the non-denominational people. And group number three, the Southern Baptist Fundamentalists, those who came from the Southern Baptist Convention into independent fundamentalism. And remember how I told you that group number two, the non-denominational crowd, have written all the books, put out all the literature, and up until recently have had just about all the colleges. And consequently, they have educated group number three. So Baptists have been educated by non-denominationalists, and because of that, we have garnered and gathered much of the doctrine that was taught by the Protestant people back yonder, and not by the Baptist and our forefathers, the Anabaptist people, and so forth. And one of those is concerning the Bride of Christ. Now, our non-denominational friends have influenced us to believe this. Now, when I get my book out on this in a few years, we're going to get Baptists all straight again. But non-denominational people, and I'm not opposed to them, I'm just saying that they're wacky when it comes to the church. They don't know the doctrine of the church. They're good people. They're fine people. I'm not against them at all. And they're members of the family of God, those who have been saved, and we're going to spend eternity with them, and I don't have any axe to grind. Except my axe is not criticizing non-denominational people. My axe is criticizing Baptists who are not proud to be Baptists anymore and have not adhered to the Baptist faith, the historic Baptist faith. Now, there are those that teach, now follow me carefully, this is the foundation of what I'm going to say. There are those that teach that all believers are the bride of Christ and the body of Christ and the church. I was reading yesterday a book by Dr. John Walford. I don't know if he's still president of Dallas Seminary or not, is it? In 1952 he became president, and for many years has been or is still president of the Dallas Theological Seminary. And he all the way through it took it for granted that the church, all believers form the church. You're saved, you're a member of the church. No, if you're saved, you're saved. If you're a member of the church, it means you join the church. But he's a born-again man. I have no axes to grind with him about salvation. I have a great axe to grind about the church. I'm not upset with him. I'm upset with us. Did you know that you're looking right now at about the only independent Baptist preacher that's writing any books? Name me an independent Baptist preacher. Well, I won't ask you to out loud, but see if you can think of one all of a sudden. My 38th book is going to come out in a few days. But now, think how many. I don't know of well, except a few books of sermons. I don't know of anybody that's publishing any doctrine, hardly, independent Baptist. So what we're doing, you know why? We've been so busy soul winning. Old Dr. G.B. Vick used to say, he had the largest church in the world. He used to say that some people are writing churches about books about how to build churches, and other folks are building churches. And so we've been so busy doing the work, we haven't written anything about the work. We've been so busy carrying out the commission, we haven't done much about teaching. And so because of that, group number three over here has gone back to group number two, and I'll be quite frankly, through publishing companies like Zondervan and Baker. But name me an independent Baptist publishing house. Southern Baptists have a publishing house, Baldwin Press. Northern Baptists have a publishing house. Presbyterians have a publishing house. Methodists have a publishing house. Independent Baptists have nobody that's publishing books. So we have had to get books. We've had to go back over to our non-denominational crowd. And then we've taken some anti-church doctrine back to our Baptists. And the average person in this room tonight, when you walk in this room, you believed that everybody that's saved is a member of the Bride of Christ. But you won't believe it when you walk out. Because I'm going to prove it. That's not right. Listen to me now. You won't believe it when you walk out. Listen to me now. All believers, I'm talking to everybody, all believers do not form tonight the Bride of Christ. Now, I'm going to teach it to you. Let's see what the Bible says about it. Is this doctrine true that says all believers are the church and the body of Christ and the Bride of Christ? All right? Let me give you something. The word bride, this will shock you. The word bride is only mentioned 5 times in the entire New Testament. 5 times. One time, it's John the Baptist talks about him being the friend of the bride. They said, John the Baptist, they thought he must be the Savior. He said, no. He said, I'm just a wedding guest. He said, the bridegroom's going to come later. And not talking at all about all Christian people, talking about John the Baptist himself. That's one time. Now, the other 4 times, the word bride is not mentioned 1 time in any of the epistles. Not 1 time. Not 1 time in Romans, not 1 time in 1 Corinthians, not 1 time in 2 Corinthians, not 1 time in Galatians, not 1 time in Ephesians, not 1 time in, in Philippians, not one time in Colossians, not one time in 1 and 2 Thessalonians. It's not mentioned any from John 3:29. It is not mentioned until Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 23. And it's mentioned four times in Revelation. It's mentioned in Revelation 18:23, Revelation 21:2, Revelation 21:9, and Revelation 22:17. That's the only time the word bride. Now, pray tell me, where do we get all this doctrine about us being the members of the bride of Christ? All right, I want you to notice Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 23. Revelation 18, verse number 23. Now, somebody's going to leave some answer. I just don't believe what he said. Well, then if you don't believe it, listen to what he says, would you? Don't rock your mind. Just listen to what the Bible says, and hear me out, and you're going to wonder, why did I always believe that? You always believed it because some doctor said it, because he wasn't busy serving God, and he was writing a theology book, and he said it, and you believed it because he said it, but the Bible doesn't say it. All right, Revelation chapter 18 and verse 23. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. All right, look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven as prepared as a bride adorned for husband. Now look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come up, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Turn to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. All right, now look at me. In Revelation, the rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse 1. Look at me now, follow me carefully. In Revelation, the rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse 1. Apart from John talking about the bridegroom in an illustration about himself, in John 3:29, there's not one single mention of the word bride. Not one single mention of the word bride until Revelation 18:23. Now, the rapture takes place in Revelation 4:1. So, the word bride is not mentioned until after the rapture. You follow me? Not mentioned until after the rapture. In Revelation 21:2, it's talking about the New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, and that's after the millennium. In Revelation 21:9, the same thing. It's after the millennium. In Revelation 22:17, it's the same thing. It's after the millennium. So three times in the Bible, the word bride, New Testament now, the word bride in the Old Testament, like Isaac got a bride, but the word bride, we talk about the New Testament bride of Christ. The word bride in the New Testament, three of the times it's mentioned, it deals with after the millennium, and the fourth time it's mentioned deals, it's after the rapture, and the first time has nothing to do with doctrine, has to do with John the Baptist. Now, if that be the case, then, that means that the rapture taking place in chapter 4, verse 1, it means that there is no bride of Christ today. Please do not write now. Please listen to me while I'm talking. I really want to... you don't have any idea how hard I work to get these studies up. And you just have to let me see the top of your head is not very inspiring, I'll tell you for sure. It's more inspiring than the top of my head. But anyway, now follow me carefully. The saved people do not become a bride until after the rapture. There is no bride of Christ today. And there's no place in the Bible that mentions anything about us being the bride of Christ. That's all in some non-denominational preacher's or theologian's book. It is not in the Bible. Now, I make an issue out of this because I detest what's going on in fundamental Baptist churches. Are swallowing hook, line, and sinker the fact that all believers form the church and all believers form the body of Christ and all believers form the bride of Christ. The truth is, all believers do not form the church. The word church is the word ecclesia, which means a called out assembly, and there is no way you can have a church without a called out assembly. So there is no church on earth today apart from local assemblies like this. Now, the Bible says the church is Jesus' body. We've been through this before. The church is Jesus' body. is not talking about it. The church is arms and fingers and hands and feet and toes and liver and gizzard. It's not talking about that. It's talking about he owns the church. It's his. He owns it. And it's his by possession. This is my coat. This is my pulpit. This is Brother John's pie. And we are, listen now, we are his body. Like I own this coat, he owns this church. We are his body. Now then, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Look at verse number 9. And he saith unto me, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now the marriage supper takes place after the marriage, right? It's the reception. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Now look at me. In Revelation chapter 19, and verse 7, it talks about the marriage of the Lamb. All right, now follow me. The marriage of the Lamb takes place immediately after the rapture. I say immediately. It takes place during that 7 years. We're in heaven, or in the air, and the tribulation period is going on the earth. Let me say again. I cannot, nor will I, embrace or allow or tolerate anybody at Howells Anderson College teaching or spreading a mid-tribulation rapture or a post-tribulation rapture. Every great evangelist this world has ever known was a pre-tribulation rapture pre-millennialist. Every great pastor this world has ever known has been a pre-tribulation pre-tribulation rapture pre-millennialist. And so we are caught up into the air, and then during the seven-year period, there is the marriage of the Lamb. Now, ask you a question. When does a woman become a bride? At marriage. Anybody here engaged? Raise your hand if you're engaged. Anybody like to be engaged? Raise your hand. Anybody? Where's somebody engaged? Oh, good. Little lady back here is engaged. All right. There. See that bride back there? Is she a bride? No. She will not be a bride until the wedding. Is that right? All right. Until the marriage. All right, now, the marriage of the Lamb is in the air after the rapture. Only then will we become a bride. Now, anybody will figure that out. You become a bride after the marriage. And we will not form the bride of Christ until after the rapture. Oh, I guess I'm tired of folks talking about the rapture of the church, the rapture of the church. All believers going to get raptured. No, not all church members going to get raptured. But at the rapture, I'll go into that after a while. But anyway, for right now, I want you to notice that the word bride never is mentioned in the entire Bible concerning God's people until after the rapture. And that's because we're not his bride until the wedding has been performed. So we are not members of the bride of Christ right now. We are members of his family, all believers members of his family, but all believers are not members of the church, because you have to join a church and to be a member of a local body, and that church is his body, and all believers are not in his body. The church is his body, as he owns the church. All believers are not in the church. All believers are not in his body. All believers are not in the bride as of now. Now, when Jesus comes again, hold it now, when Jesus comes again at the rapture, then all believers will be called out, and we shall assemble in heaven. Then all believers become members of a church, because only then will all believers be a called out assembly. Then that called out assembly, a church, will become his bride, and then all believers become his church, and members of his church, and his bride, and his body. So you will not, all believers will not be members of the body, or of the church, or of the bride until the rapture. Now listen to me. Well, you say, I knew so-and-so, and he didn't believe that. Okay, would you ask him to show me in the Bible where we're called the bride of Christ?
Just ask him. Ask anybody. Now, make an issue out of it, because the non-denominational crowd is not concerned about the local church until they want some money. Now, make an issue of it. Because we have all the bride and the body and the church. No, sir. Jesus has a unit of battle now on earth, and that's the local church. And that church is his body in the sense that he belongs to him, and that church is not his bride and will not be his bride until all of us, according to Hebrews 12:23, because the church of the firstborn is assembled in heaven, then all believers become a church, then all believers are part of his bride, and because we will get married then. All right? Now then, there's no mention of the church now being his bride. Nowhere. And if God was going to put it anywhere, he'd put it in the Epistle to Paul. That's where the doctrine is. That's where the rapture's taught in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's where the tribulation's taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And that's where the relationship, that's where the church is, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Corinth, to the church at Rome. And certainly, he's writing all these letters to these churches. He'd have told them if they were the bride. But never mentions the word bride. I mean, they mention the word bride about not a husband and wife. The word bride is not mentioned at all. So the bride and the body are never the same in this age. Now, there are people that believe that they are the same, and consequently that only the folks that belong to the New Testament church are members of the bride. Everybody else will be wedding guests in heaven. That's not right. Then all people that belong to the New Testament church are simply church members right now. And at the rapture, when all of us form a church in the sky, then we'll be the bride, and all believers will be the bride and the church after we have been called out and after we've assembled. Now, the future church will be the bride. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to stay there for a while. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to follow me very carefully. Look, when you found that... Don't you see how we are? We get our doctrine just reading the book. It must be true. Now, let's see what it says. Verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, does that mean that the husband's got a head and the wife's got a body and his head's pure?
His head screwed on his wife's body?
No. And that doesn't mean that about the church either. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. It's not talking here about biology. It's talking here about authority. He's saying, wives, submit yourself to your husband. And the same relationship that the wife has the husband, the church is supposed to have to Jesus. The husband is the boss man, and Jesus is the boss man. That's what it's talking about. Verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head, our boss, of the church, and he is, I like this, the savior of the body. Now, what is the body? This church right here. The local church, now I hate to say local church, the only kind there is, but the local church is his body by possession. What does it mean? He's the savior of the body. It means that the only way that you can continue to be called a local church is if Jesus keeps on purifying it. Remember over in Revelation chapter 2, he said to the church at Ephesus, he said, repent and do thy first works or I will come and remove thy candlestick. And the candlestick is the church. He's saying you may be called a church, but I won't recognize you as a church unless you get back to soul winning. Now what he's saying is, here, he said Jesus is the Savior of the body. The body is the church of the called out assembly here, and Jesus is the one that saves it, and the only way you can continue to be called or have the franchise from heaven as being a New Testament church is if you yield to him, and he keeps preserving it and saving it as a church. I wish I could get some of you folks interested in the Bible. I wish you'd get as interested in your Bible as you are picking your nose or cleaning your fingernails or
doing your hair while I preach. For the husband is the, verse 23, is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's the word ecclesia. He loved the called out assembly and gave himself for it. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. Keep your place there in Ephesians. We're going to come back to there. Acts chapter 20. You have the same thing said in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you the overseers. Now, turn back one page to verse 17 of Acts 20. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders. What is an elder? What's another word for the word elder? Pastor. What's the third word? Bishop. All right. He called for the pastors of the church. Didn't say churches. Of the church. What church? In Ephesus. Why? Like we have several pastors here, they have several pastors there. So it's talking about the local church in Ephesus. Now look at verse 28 again. Take heed thereunto, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, that's the church in Ephesus, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, that's the ecclesia, the called out assembly, and these pastors in Ephesus couldn't feed all believers. They could only feed that local assembly. And it says that to feed the ecclesia, or called out assembly of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. All right? So Jesus purchased not only our salvation, but he also purchased and bought the local called out assembly or church when he died on the cross. So he not only died to save us from our sin, but died to have an organization that could feed us and mature us in the Lord. Now back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse number 25 again. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, that's the ecclesia, called out assembly, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it. Look at me. That word sanctifying is the word set apart. Go back to this little couple over here that's going to get married. And of course, if you've got a good look at her and a good look at him, he's got to be rich or smart or something, because he dead sure is ugly. But anyway, when did you propose to her, Dave? December 22nd. All right, and you accepted, right? Okay. Now, are you married? Are you a bride yet? No, but you're set apart. Have you had any other dates since December 22nd? No. No. So you're set apart. Now, hear me carefully. The church, the local church, is not the bride of Christ, but it is set apart to become the bride of Christ. Just like she is set apart to become Mrs. David Becker. That's right, isn't it? Consequently, she is set apart. But now, in Bible days, an engagement was stricter than it is now. It says, for example, in Luke 1:27, Luke 2:5, and Matthew 1:18, it talks about Mary and Joseph being, give me the word, espoused. Now, that's the nearest thing we have that is engaged. But, brother, when you got espoused in those days, you weren't married yet, but you couldn't break the agreement. It was a legal and binding contract. Now, if you decide you don't want to marry him, you can break it. If you'll wise up. But anyway, but see, not so in Bible days. Joseph and Mary were not bride and bridegroom. They were espoused to each other. They were not married. They were espoused, but it was legal, and nothing could allow them to break that contract. I am saved. I am espoused to Jesus. I will be his bride. But nothing can allow the contract to be broken. Neither party could break the contract. Neither party.
So, consequently, it says that Jesus might sanctify the church. What? Set it apart, just like she set apart. Except with even a stronger tie. Look at verse 26 again. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, I'd like to say a word to you folks that think that means baptism. This word washing, I checked it. This word washing is not a punctiliar or aorist verb. It is a durative verb or a linear verb. It means that Jesus might present it, verse 26, he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing and washing and washing and washing and washing and washing. Not one time up there, but all the time in here. You see. So it's durative. It's linear. It means like how you say somebody hits the ball, that means he hit it one time. But you say somebody hits the ball, hits the ball well, he's a good hitter, that means he hits and he hits and he hits and he hits, and this means that Jesus loves his church, and he washes it and 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 washes it. What? His local assembly. All right. Let's go back again, verse 26. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, when you get down to that present to himself, that sounds like the wedding to me. See? All right. Notice now. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. What's he saying? He's saying now that the local church now, which is his body by possession and ownership, the local church now is being washed. Now, if we need be continually washed, we must be continually getting dirty. We say, a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's unscriptural. It's a pretty song, and I sing it today. I've been singing it all day because I have this verse here. I'm not against anybody that sings it, but it's not true. The church has spots and has wrinkles, or you wouldn't have to keep on washing us. But there will come a day at the rapture when we will be a glorious church, and the word glorious there means a perfect church, a glorified church like Jesus had his glorified body. We shall then be a glorified church when all the believers are caught up in the air and our bodies shall be changed. We shall be like him and we shall be without spot or wrinkle, and then we'll be his bride. You're not fit to be his bride yet. We're not fit to be his bride yet. He wants a glorious bride without a spot or wrinkle. So one day when the rapture takes place and all of us are caught up in the air, then the church and the body are the same. Then the church and the body and the bride are all the same. But we will not be the bride until we get to the wedding. We are now sanctified and set apart. Set apart for what? Set apart to become his bride. We are espoused to him. But 2 Corinthians 6:18 says we're not our own. Neither was Mary her own when she was espoused to Joseph. But she wasn't his bride yet. So she was, but she was not her own. But she was set apart. She was sanctified. And I have been set apart. And I have been sanctified. And the Bible said, those whom he sanctifies, he will also glorify. And when he glorifies me and you, we'll all be caught up. All Christians shall assemble in the sky. All of us then shall be a church. And we'll be married to the marriage of the Lamb and then become his bride. Now, I make an issue out of this because a lot of people think the local church is a mighty cute little thing, but they've outgrown it. Mighty cute little thing, but they don't need it. You go to most of these non-denominational colleges and you'll find that the faculty doesn't go to church. You know why? Because the college is more important than the church. I know a certain college that had a pastor. They have had a campus church and they had a pastor. The pastor didn't agree with something of the president of the college, and the president of the college fired the pastor. Don't you get any ideas, Doc? You see what I'm trying to say? I mean, church doesn't mean much. The college is a big boy. College president is a higher title than a pastor of the church, according to them, but not according to God, you see. So, I'm saying, I want to find out when I'm going to die, and I want to get this book written and publish it the day before I die, so I won't be able to have to be here for all the feedback. All I'm teaching you tonight is old-fashioned Baptist doctrine. But Baptists don't preach it anymore because Baptists have sent our preachers to non-denominational schools to get trained. And they've been taught all of this era. Taught, for example, that all believers form the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And there's nothing about it in the Bible. Five times in the New Testament the word bride is mentioned. Four of those times after the rapture. The other time in a non-related scripture. Nothing new about the church. And probably the church hadn't even been started when it was mentioned. Consequently, we have grown. Hear me now. Follow me carefully. Some of you folks are saying amen, but let me ask you a question. If you were sick tonight, would you have come to church? Okay, let me ask another question. If you were exactly that sick tomorrow, would you go to school? We've been influenced, haven't we? Yeah. You got upset a while ago when that college president fired that pastor, didn't you? But some of you parents will keep your children home from Wednesday night service so they can be well enough to go to school the next day. So we've swallowed this. Church is real cute, pretty nice, but school's more important. If that's the case, why is it that you take your weekend trips instead of Wednesday and Thursday trips? Because the church is an option and school is not. But this church is 25 times more important than those schools out there. But you don't believe it. I got to stay home tonight from Bible study and Wednesday night service so I can rest up so I can go to work tomorrow. Or so I can go to school tomorrow. Now, the simple truth is, we have been influenced by the fact that the church is a very cute little thing, and we ought to go when we can. The church is the only institution in this world that was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. It is His only, apart from the home, the family itself, it is His only institution. It is His unit of battle. It is His dining hall where we get fed. It is His clothing place where we get clothed. It is His arsenal where we get our weapons. I look at verse 26 again. That He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now turn to Hebrews 12:23. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's the rapture. To the general assembly and church, that's the called out assembly, of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the time when the church becomes the bride, and all believers become the church. Now, let me see if I can review a little bit. And
bring up today. The church today is the local assembly. There is not one shred of evidence in the Bible that all Christians are a church. And they can't be a church. In Dr. Walbert's book I was reading yesterday, Dr. Walbert said, he said the word church is the ecclesia. Now get this. He said the word church is ecclesia, which means called out assembly, which in this age is all believers. Do you notice the inconsistency? It's a called out assembly and it's all believers. Well, pray tell me, Dr. Walbert, when did the all believers ever assemble? In Acts chapter 7, it talks about the Israelites being a church. But they were not called a church when they were in Egypt because they weren't assembled in Egypt. It talks about the church in the wilderness. When did they become a church? When they got out of Egypt and got in the wilderness. They assembled. They were called out. Now, they were scattered all over Egypt, but they were no church. But when on the Passover night they were delivered from the bondage of Egypt, they were called out in the wilderness, and they assembled. Remember the tents they had and assembled around that tabernacle and had that pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to guide them and to warm them by nighttime and to give them shade by daytime. And they assembled, and then they were called a church because they were called out of assembly. If God's nation, well, I was thumbing through a book, and it talked about the church of the Old Testament, the church in the Old Testament. There was no church in the Old Testament except when God's people, all the nation of Israel, assembled in the wilderness. If God's people were not a church in their little heathen land, they were only a church, a called out assembly, when they got out of the heathen land and out in the wilderness alone. Even so will God's people not be a church until we're out of this heathen land. And until we're caught up and we assemble in the sky, then we become the church. Then we are married to Christ at the marriage of the Lamb. Then we become the bride of Christ. And now, we're members of the family of God, as it were. We're going to heaven when we die, and we are forming a group that at the rapture will be the bride. Until then, the church and the body are the same, because the church is the called out assembly, and that called out assembly is the body of Christ. You know, to tell you the truth, I'm not going to do this, but I'd like to. I could really get caught up into this. I'd like for the folks that believe, the non-denominational people that don't believe much in the local church, I'd like for them to choose their captain. And I'd like to debate him. Now, I'm not going to do it because I preached against that all my life. But I'd like to debate him. I'd like for him to show me the scriptures that tells that all Christians are the bride of Christ right now. I've read every one to you in the New Testament tonight. It's not there. Don't get worried. I'm not going to debate him. But I'd like to. I'll bind you one thing. If I did, I don't care which one they chose. If I did, I'll guarantee you one thing. There'd be a lot of Baptist converts the next day if they'd believe the Bible. Now, I'll close with this. Some of you are a little worried. All your life you've been taught, we're the bride of Christ, we're the bride of Christ. Well, when did you get married? Now, what I've taught tonight is not heresy. What I've taught tonight was exactly what Baptists taught historically. The battle between the Anabaptists and the Protestants back after the Reformation days and before the battle of Anabaptists and the Catholics. The Catholic word Catholic means universal. And so when the Protestants pulled out of Catholicism, they kept that universal church concept. And then when the non-denominationalists pulled out of the Protestant group, they kept that universal church concept. And Mrs. Schofield, being a Protestant that came, being a non-denominational that came from a Protestant group, he talked about that universal church concept. But Baptists have never believed until this generation. Have never believed in the universal, invisible church. Never have.
and they believed exactly what I've taught tonight until group number two started training us. We have this Bible came from group number two. Most of the books you have, Christian books you have at home, were published by group number two. Most of the sermons that preachers prepare, they study from books from group number two. Why? That's exactly why. Group number three has been so busy building churches and getting people saved, they haven't had time to sit in their studies and put out commentaries. But somebody needs to remind us that we're still Baptists. Shall we stand, please?